on account of us using his blessings against his orders and commands. May Allah Ta'ala save us. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to continuously make shukr and use all his blessings in the most correct way and in a manner that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in a manner that Allah ta'ala loves that his blessings be used. Alhamdulillah, from among the praiseworthy qualities which the Quran Kareem repeatedly makes mention of is that of sabr. We find that this word sabr and its various derivatives appear in the Quran repeatedly. And the Quran not only speaks about this quality as a praiseworthy quality, but it also makes mention of this quality, or it makes mention of those who possess this particular quality. The Quran speaks about them in a very high and in a very beautiful manner. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about one of the Anbiya, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, Inna wajadnahu sabira ni'ma al-abd. Allah says, verily we found him to have exercised sabr, and indeed, what a wonderful servant. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those people who have this quality of sabr, and like all other qualities, it is found in everybody into a lesser or in a greater degree. But when it is not there, then a person should actually try and inculcate it, and if it is there in a lesser measure, he should make an effort of trying to increase it. So we find that this is not just any ordinary quality. This quality has been mentioned side by side with all other beautiful acts of ibadah, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides, or rather grants great reward to those who have this particular quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the quality of sabr, when it is exercised by anybody, he elevates the person in this world. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we had granted them leadership, أَئِمَّة, we made them imams. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, and then they were guiding the people by our commands. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, on account of the sabr that they had exercised. So if a person exercises sabr in various phases of his life, whatever situation he is found himself in, the worldly benefit is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates him to the position of a leader. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَ, those people who make hijrah and after that they make sabr. Allah says, we will give them a most beautiful place in this world to stay. لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَ. And likewise, there are various other benefits of this worldly life for those people who exercise sabr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also that there is a great reward for the people who exercise sabr in the akhirah. وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people who make sabr, then the akhirah reward is much more greater. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. That for those people who make sabr and who do good deeds, for them Allah says there is going to be forgiveness. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And this is one very important quality for us to keep in mind, that there is no other, no better way for us to have Allah ta'ala with us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ, مَعَ means with. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us, who? Those people who make sabr. And that Allah being with us is in this dunya and in the akhirah. And who better can we have with us when we are undergoing or facing challenging times than to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people who make sabr, we will grant them their reward in full measure without any reckoning. In other words, it's an unlimited reward. So we find that this quality has been mentioned in such a beautiful way in the Quran. Allah has praised those who have this quality, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the benefits of exercising sabr. Now, what is the meaning of the word sabr? We know, we understand it in our context. We say you must make sabr. Sabr means, patience. We translate it as perseverance, endurance, and restraint. And all these names, all these words, or this word of sabr, we will find that we have to exercise it in different aspects of our life. When does a person normally make sabr? Normally a person will only make sabr when he is experiencing some or other kind of a difficult or uncomfortable or unpleasant situation. You won't be making sabr when things are good, when things are pleasant, when things are hunky-dory, and a person is enjoying his life there, enjoying good meals and sleeping on a good bed. We don't tell him, brother, you must make sabr. He doesn't need to make sabr because, alhamdulillah, he's in a good situation. But any of that normal life of his taken away, the situation is probably, you know, used to, is no longer there. He's unsettled. He's now put in a difficult and uncomfortable situation, whether it's a big difficult situation or a small difficult situation. That is the time that he has to exercise patience, endurance, restraint, and perseverance, what we translate as sabr. So that is when sabr has to be made. And sabr can be made for a big situation, a big difficulty, or even for something small. There's a hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, ma yusibul muslimu min nasabin wala wasabin wala hammin wala haznin wala adhan wala ghammin hatta shawkata yushakuha illa kaffarallahu biha min khataya. That whatever tiredness or whatever difficulty or whatever grief or sorrow or problem or sadness afflicts a person to such an extent that if he gets pricked with a thorn, even that will be the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiping away his sins. So anything, whether it be big or whether it be small, any difficulty, any uncomfortable situation, any inconvenience which a person experiences, and on that time he does not vent frustration, he does not become angry, but he withholds himself and he makes sabr, for that he is going to be granted this great reward. And these rewards have already been mentioned earlier on. So one is we have to maybe, you know, make sabr in different daily life situations. Sometimes the food is late, sometimes the food is not having enough salt in it, or sometimes we are on the road and there's a lot of traffic, or something else happens, it gets a bit too cold. These are our normal situations. Also at that time, we have to make sabr. Somebody inconveniences us in our normal situation, somebody blocks our parking or somebody does something. These are the daily situations of what we call making sabr when a person is inconvenienced, we undergo some or other kind of difficulty. Sometimes, even in our ibadat, we have to undergo kind of a difficulty. A person is leading his normal routine and then he has to stop what he is doing and he has to now go and make wudu, for example, with cold water. Or a person has to leave his warm bed on a winter's morning. Or a person has to fast on a very, very hot day. All these things require sabr. So that is one form of sabr where a person has to make, it is called sabr ala ta'a. But for all of these situations, he carries it out with the spirit of I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. Then inshallah, such a person will not find any difficulty. And even the difficulty that he's experiencing, he will be granted a reward for it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have another situation where a person has to also exercise sabr. What we normally will say that we have to make sabr then, you know. Sometimes when a person is afflicted with some sudden affliction, some kind of a calamity that might befall him. It might be whatever the nature of that calamity might be. He's probably overtaken by sudden death, or he's afflicted. Somebody in his family, not himself, obviously, somebody in his family is afflicted with sudden death, or he himself is afflicted with some illness. He was well and he was fine, and suddenly some sickness overtook him. Or he is afflicted with some other kind of injury. He was fine and suddenly Allah Ta'ala protect us, but he fell or something happened, he met in an accident. Or he is sometimes afflicted with the separation of a beloved. The beloved is alive, but for some reason he is no longer with him. He has to now, you know, endure the separation of someone who was very close to him and that person left him and went away. Or sometimes he has to bear the loss of some wealth in whichever way it might got stolen, it might got lost, or for some other reason a person lost his wealth, or he is sometime overtaken by hunger for whatever reason, or he is overtaken by fear. So these are all situations that come upon a person from time to time. And there also we find that there is a great amount of virtue mentioned for the person who exercises sabr. And these are the situations that we repeatedly find ourselves. At this point in time, we find ourselves in a situation collectively where we have to exercise sabr. And sometimes a person individually, in his own capacity, whatever he might be doing, he might have to suffer some or other kind of sabr. He has to endure some kind of restraint. And when we say restraint, he does not bring any kind of evil thoughts in his mind and heart against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all situations are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Or sometimes he says something very badly, or he goes and does something against the orders and the commands of Allah. So he has not then exercised what we call sabr. So the sabr is to withhold yourself. And we find that this particular lesson, he's been taught to us by the Anbiya alayhimus salam, by the Ahlullah. We find that they themselves have endured and experienced so many difficult situations. The Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam are the most beloved servants of Allah Ta'ala. They are the most beloved creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody would have expected to say, they are so close to Allah, therefore they do not have to suffer any other kind of difficulty. But no, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Anbiya wa ashaddu bala'an. The Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam experience the most amount of test and difficulty. Thumma al-amthal fal-amthal, and those who are closest to them and those who are closest to them. So those who are very pious, they can expect, you know, the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come. And through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not punishing them. He is not getting any kind of joy to put his servants to difficulty. No, through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is elevating his servants. So we are the normal laymen. We are in the category of just the ordinary people. But when these situations, whatever they might be, afflict us, then this is our opportunity to pass the test and to link ourselves up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how the pious people did. They also were attacked by their enemies. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was attacked on the occasion of the battle of Uhud. And he himself speaks about the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, that they were being beaten by their opponents. And the blood was flowing from their face, and the blood was coming down continuously. And they were wiping the blood from their face and they were saying, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, my servants, forgive them. Or my people, forgive my people. Because they don't exactly know what they are doing. So, what we are saying is that all these situations came upon the Anbiya alayhi salam. They faced hunger. So, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about himself, he says, once myself and Bilal faced a situation of hunger and a situation of fear to such an extent that we had no food to eat except that food which Bilal could keep under his arm. That means a small little parcel of food. That is the amount of food we had. In other words, they were faced with fear as well as with hunger and then with injury. And so we find lots of other situations and examples of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. And also that of sabr that was exercised by them on the various occasions. And from there, we are actually supposed to take a lesson. So what is the first and most important thing? Alhamdulillah, we are people of iman. And being people of iman means we are linked up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have recited La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah means, oh Allah, we surrender ourselves over to you. And we are your servants and we submit ourselves to you in whichever situation it might be. Therefore, when this situation comes up about, and this is what the Anbiya alayhimus salam and the pious people used to do, they used to immediately take support from their iman. They used to realize that we are servants of Allah. They used to put their akhirat in front of them. And that was the basis of them then being able to deal with and meet up with the challenge. And whatever comfort was taken away from them, they now found comfort in their iman. They now found comfort in their belief in the akhirat and in the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful. And they attributed everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They attributed everything to Allah ta'ala. We have the incident, for example, of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu once entered the room of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the room was very sparse. There were hardly any belongings. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting on a straw mat. It left its imprint on his back. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu at that time said something that, you know, the powers and the rulers of Rome and Persia enjoying so much of comfort, and you being the Nabi of Allah, look at your condition. At that time, what Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, their lot is in this world, our lot is in the Akhirah. So that is how we actually are supposed to program ourselves, that we are in this world for a short while, whatever conditions come, like they say, Zindagi din ke guzarne hai. That means the days of the life we have to pass, this way or that way. And finally, there's going to be another destination. Once somebody came to the house of Sayyidina Abu Zar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great prominent sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he saw the house of Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he saw it was very empty. So he said to him, he said, I don't see much things in your house. For example, you go to somebody's house and you just find no furniture there, no, you know, items and whatever it might be. So this person also saw, and he found that Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu's house was bare. There was hardly anything in there. So he said, I don't see anything in your house. So Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, okay, my things of my house are in the other house. So the person said, where's the other house? He said, the other house is in the Akhirat. Subhanallah. So that being the case, this man said, but in this world also you need to have some things for this house. So Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the owner of this house, that is Allah Ta'ala, is not going to leave me in this house. He's going to take me away to the other house. So I'm going to have all my things there. So this is how we actually are supposed to view our life in this world, that our other house, our real dwelling is in Jannah. So what we got here is temporary. What we don't get here is also not a problem. What is taken away from us in this world is also not a problem, because we're also going to be taken away one day from here. So that is how we are actually supposed to view ourselves. It is mentioned about Sayyidina Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu, once he became very, very ill, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited him and said to him, you know what, you are going to get well. You will get well from this sickness. But what is going to happen to you one day after my death? You're going to live long, and then you're going to become blind. So this was a prophecy, a mojiza of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, at that time, what are you going to do? Now you'll come right, but what you'll do at that time? So Sayyidina Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, إِذَنْ أَصْبِرُ وَأَحْتَسِبُ. Then at that time I'll make sabr and I will hope for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَنْ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِغِيرِ حِسَابٍ. Then if that is what you're going to do, then you are going to enter into Jannah without any reckoning. So again, we can see here that we as mu'mineen, as believers, we have only one thing, and that is our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the belief in the Akhirah, and the fact that we see in front of us that nobody stays, everybody moves on. In the same way, we will move forward inshallah, and whatever difficulty we undergo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then grant us that reward. See how beautifully he said, I will make sabr and I will hope for a reward. And that is when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you will enter Jannah. Once somebody came to visit Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala when he was ill, and this was probably by the end of his life, and they offered to get him a tabib. They said, can we get you a doctor, a physician? So he says, the doctor already saw me. They say, what did the doctor say? He said, the tabib, my physician, he said, inni fa'alul lima urid, that I do as I wish. He was referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala has already said that he does as he pleases, that this is the situation he's put me in, and through this situation he's going to take me forward, and I have to submit myself to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined and has wished for me. So therefore, beautiful example given here, and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself experienced so much of difficulty, so many situations of extreme grief. When he lost his beloved family, he lost his mother, we know, when he was 6 years old. He lost his children as they were growing up, small sons. He lost his daughters. He lost his grandchildren. He lost his uncle Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. And he even lost his uncle Abu Talib, who took care of him at that time, who was very close to him. He lost his grandfather Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through all these griefs and moments of difficulty and sadness and sorrow, He just said, we accept whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are going to accept it and we're going to accept the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same example is given of the Sahabas and the Sahabiyat. We know the very famous story of who? Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. We all know the incident when she lost her husband Abu Salama. It was such a great blow to her and she did not know what hit her at that time. She made one dua that Allahumma ajurni fi musibati, that oh Allah grant me a reward in this calamity of mine and give me something better. And who was the better? And what was the better? She became the wife of none other than Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what we are saying is that there are lots of beautiful examples of the Anbiya alayhi wasallam, of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of the pious people, of the Sahaba and the Sahabiyya, through which we can actually get a great amount of inspiration and lessons. And when we find ourselves in this particular situation where we are overtaken by this lockdown, by this virus that is spreading and has spread all over the world, and at that time we are now stuck, our routines have been affected, we can't go out to work, we can't go out to see family, we can't even attend the masjid, which is such a sad and such a grief-stricken moment for most of us. We are unable to do so many things. Some people are unable to go and earn a livelihood, and we can't even go anywhere. Things are so difficult. So at a time like this, we say, you know what, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very famous hadith that we've been quoted recently, that وَلَيْسَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَقَعُ فِي الطَّاعُونَ, that whichever servant finds himself enveloped by a epidemic or a pandemic, فَيَمْكُثُ فِي بِلَادِهِ صَابِرًا, and he stays in his situation, in his precinct, in his area, with making sabr, muhtasiban, expecting a reward. يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا يُصِيبُهُ إِلَّا مَا كَتِبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ, then he knows and that only that what Allah has written for him will afflict him. إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ الشَّهِيدِ, and for him that is going to be the reward of a martyr, subhanAllah. So there is such a great reward mentioned for us, specifically in the situation we find ourselves in. Alhamdulillah, most of us and all of us, as to the best of our ability, we know we are all safe, we are all in this way positive, as we would say, or rather we are negative in the manner that no symptoms and that are found. But the fact that we are making sabr in the situation that we find ourselves, there is a great amount of reward promised for us. Therefore, we as mu'mineen use this opportunity to do what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ, whoever makes an effort to acquire sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him that sabr. وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ أَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعُ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ, no one has been granted a better gift than, and much more vast than that of sabr. Vast meanings that because of this gift, you will be able to acquire so many different rewards and virtues and benefits from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no one else who can grant us a reward for sabr except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reward that Allah ta'ala will grant in this world and in the hereafter is only most precious and most priceless, because it comes from Him. And in this way, we don't give up hope. And as mu'mineen, we know the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that the matter of a believer is indeed very, very remarkable. That whenever any difficulty afflicts him, in asabathu dharra'a sabara fahuwa khairul lahu, then if any difficulty afflicts him and he makes sabr, then that is also good for him. Because what is the goodness? The goodness is that he is going to link up to Allah Ta'ala, he'll become more conscious of Allah Ta'ala, he will turn to Allah Ta'ala, he will appreciate the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, and he will expect a great amount of reward from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grants us this most beautiful quality at this moment. Our ulama say you must never make dua for sabr when you are in a good situation. When you are in a good situation, then to make dua for sabr at that time is to actually indirectly ask Allah Ta'ala to be bringing some kind of a difficulty on you, because that's why you want to make sabr. So now at this point in time, we have to make dua for sabr, because we are finding ourselves in not one but in so many different uncomfortable and unsettling situations and positions. Therefore, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala doesn't put us through a test which we cannot endure. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant us support and help and assistance and sabr from His side, and then whatever happens in the future, it will be a means of us becoming closer to Allah Ta'ala, becoming more conscious of Him, May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq wa ma'alina illa al-balagh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa laqibatu al-muttaqina wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya'i wa al-mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mulana muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alita ya dhal jalal al-ikram. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين أستغفر الله أستغفر الله أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وتوب إليه اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون صل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكر الغافلون اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من البرص والجذام والجنون والسيء الأسقام اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من هذا البلاء والوباء وجميع الأمراض وجميع العافات والبليات يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم استر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين